Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jane Hoffman. I'm coming to you live from a basement in northern Minnesota. John and Don will be joining us soon, and we're going to talk about two things tonight. The premise of the TV series Zoo that was created by James Patterson and Michael Ledwidge in a novel, and it ran for a year already. There were 13 episodes, and it's about violent animal attacks upon humans. Now, the premise of the show is that animals have possibly been genetically altered to discover that they are going to be not only protective of their own existence, but predatory towards humans. And for centuries, mankind has been the dominant species. We've domesticated all kinds of animals, killed them for sports, and you know the rest about, you know, might versus right, in the sense of humans dominating animals. Of course, there's been attacks of animals on humans. But this movie is, this television series is more interesting because it co-opts five people from different backgrounds with different specializations like animal behavior, a pathologist, a foreign intelligence agent, a journalist, and a safari guide. And they try to discover a solution to why, how animals can go back to being normal. But in the meantime, they have to look for scientific evidence, cause and effect, on how to restrain animals that seem to be attacking humans. We're also going to be talking about, we're going to relate this to the state of Minnesota, County of Hennepin, court case against Nathan Wayne Gustafson and other people that were involved in a second-degree armed weapon riot in which they penetrated guns into the crowd. And the contingency here is the maximum sentence for pointing and shooting a gun in a crowd is 5 years only, or $10,000. So we're going to be talking about criminal penal codes, man's attack on man, man versus the environment, and men versus humans. John is on the line, so we'll pull him in. And Don is at work, and he will be calling intermittently in the next 45 minutes. Hi, John. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, Jane Hoffman. How is the Holy Hammer today?
The Holy Hammer worked 18 hours, donated plasma, rested, and is back at work. How about you?
Is it true that the lack of blood supply to your brain has made your hair turn blue?
Yes. I now have Katy Perry hair. And
well,
it is blue.
It looks good, actually. You know, sometimes people do color changes and they look like space aliens, or just doesn't fit. It actually looks kind of cool. Color hair looks good on some people sometimes.
Well, I'm not going to keep it for very long, but I do like it temporarily, but it took some getting used to. I didn't like it at first.
How do people in Minneapolis react to you, or Minnesota?
Well, I live in Duluth. One guy did a double take of me on the bus. Some people were teasing me today in a social setting, some of my friends, but like giving me nicknames like Blue. But I told them to call me Polar Ice Cap instead.
Nice. Has your inner circle of church friends seen this?
No, I actually skipped church because I was too tired and too embarrassed.
Because
the average church member is 60 or older.
I was going to say, in California or Hollywood, you would not stick out at all. I remember when I went through a divorce, as part of this, for some reason, not everyone's like this, but I think most people, when you go through a traumatic thing like a divorce, there's a certain point where you want to do something very extreme and sometimes even destructive. And so in part of the self-destruction, in my case, I shaved half my head, just right down the center. You know, so I had one side long hair, rock and roll, and the other side just totally boom, straight to the skin. And it was just part of the whole identity, like half of me is gone. It was just what I felt. I was going to shave it all, but I felt like half of me was still there. And I remember walking around L.A. on the west side. It was traumatic for some people. You know, they see me coming. And also, to even facial
what
area.
Color? What did you do to your hair?
I shaved my head right down the center. So one half was totally. In other words, if I turned sideways and you saw one side, you'd say, oh, he's totally bald. And if I turned the other side, you'd go, oh, he's totally got hair. You know, he's a hippie. He's a rocker.
It was probably part of your grieving process.
Totally. And in fact, the couple weeks leading up to it, because it was one of those things where it was a building situation, like, are we going to reconcile? Are we going to talk things or out? Are we going to be on hold? There's a whole bunch of game playing that sometimes for people goes on for days, weeks, or months, or even years. You know, I know people have been divorced for 2 or 3 years. They're still holding on, you know, like, oh, maybe we'll get back together. Well, in my case, there was it was about 6 to 9 months, and there was a certain period of like, this is it. We're not going any further. Yes or no. No tomorrow. It's right here, right now. This is it. And once that happened, it was like, wow, it was traumatic. So again, that couple weeks leading up to that showdown, I didn't even shave, so you had half of me was like, you know, like, I don't have a lot of facial hair, but I was like this, you know, mountain man, and the other side was totally clean.
Okay, I don't mind talking about hair, but Don's calling in soon, and we're still on the 45-minute budget, because
yes.
I had to pay a certain Latino friend back.
I was half man, half animal, so...
I think that's going to really tie into the show because I have to describe what two episodes were about. We actually headlined the show with the, it's called Zoo. It's a CBS series that was also placed on Netflix, 13 episodes, and it's coming back on in the summer, and it's by James Patterson and another author. So can I just take about 2 minutes to describe the story, and then we can relate it to other things that are going on in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So in the first, I'm just going to make it real fast. In the first scene, there's a woman named Chloe. She's a French national who's actually a security agent for France, and she comes out there as a tourist because her marriage fell through, so she just wanted to complete her African safari. Well, she meets another guy who's worked with animals most of his life, and they get attacked by lions, and then one of their black friends, who's the only person native to that area, gets taken by lions, but he's not killed. He's taken up into the tree, and they, like, keep him there. And they don't really understand why they didn't kill the man, because they killed about 17 other people. We then skip through a few episodes. Five people come together, a journalist, a veterinarian pathologist, the black guy who is the tour guide, the French girl, and another person, and they form a team, and they discover that Raiden, there was an organization called Raiden Global, which used biotechnology that... damaged the DNA of animals and created unusual behavior. So they find unusual brain activity and hive-like communication in zoo lions. They find that certain species of animals that never related to each other before now are relating to each other. And they're also on the attack against humans. In one scene in like the Ukraine, these dogs attack people, and different incidents were shown around the world. The animals are also attracted to electronics and other stuff like that. So I'm just going to read one excerpt from... So the series continues, and they discover, you know, like the two women die in the Antarctica when birds they don't like the birds that are caged up, so the other birds attack them, blah, 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 blah. Well, they figure out through all these stories, and I'll describe one episode in a minute, that there's a chemical, a mother cell, that they have to get their hands on to remedy the situation. At first, there are no signs of influence of the mother cell, but what they do is they take the chemical and they try to apply it so they can restore the animals to their natural behaviors. So a DNS shows that Mitch is the pathologist. He hypothesizes that the mother cell has led to accelerated evolution and might be able to create a cure. And in the meantime, there's bad guys chasing them from Raiden. And halfway through the story, there's a guy named Mitch. His daughter has an incurable disease, and he's going to try to sell the mother's cell back to Raiden for medicine for his daughter. Well, then he escapes from the building, and he tries to find a cure for mutations. And then they end up back in Africa with a group of leopards that were not contaminated. And they find the cure, but then there's another twist in the story, and there's a problem at a hospital with animal attacks. So they finally administer the treatment to a dog through the mouth, and he gets cured. Well, then they fly back to the U.S., and their plane goes down, and there's a big mess. But basically, it's the reason why the show is so good is because it talks, you know, humans, the dynamics of life have changed. The animals are on attack against man. And by the way, Don's on the line now. And now man has to become a defensive person and feel these attacks when you never know when they're going to happen. And then towards the end of the series, there's places like underground restaurants where people are still eating meat, but they realize that like cows and stuff have become contaminated, so maybe their DNA will get thrown off by eating meat. So let's bring Don in just to welcome him. Hi, Don. How's your evening going?
Doing fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm at work right now, so there might be a chance that I have to put you on mute. Okay, but we'll have to see.
Oh, by the way, you guys, even though we're talking about man versus man and man versus animal, we are not talking about Sasquatch tonight. But
no, but sounds like you're talking about ice and stuff.
Yeah, and we will talk about the San Bernardino thing because that couple did kill 14 people, and they were all advanced degrees chemists. There was also a rabbi in there, a Messianic Jew, and a couple other people. But the premise of this show is, you know, like I'm talking about this new series, and I thought we might have some people calling because it's popular. But it's about a scientific approach to controlling animals after they had been genetically affected by their DNA. But John was telling us earlier how I dyed my hair blue over the weekend, which is true, and that he shaved his head down the middle during his pending divorce, and how he felt animal-like in a sense because people would stare at him. Right, John?
Oh, definitely. And I think what's happening with all this violence is it's making us having to choose, like in the food chain, am I going to be killed or be killed? And it's instead of being able to logically negotiate, talk, and work through problems, people are just randomly, and they're killing people they don't even know. I mean, it's not like, oh, this is the core problem, like, okay, the bully at the corner, he's terrorizing everyone, so let's take him out. It's like they're taking out innocent people or people not connected, and it's senseless. Like, what's the point? What are you really trying to accomplish? It's just to get people all crazy and whacked out, chaos.
Yeah, by the way, John, that San Bernardino killing, though, that man had a good job with the county, and it was an environmental agency with a lot of, and he knew all the people he killed. He killed people at his own holiday party.
Well, as a follow-up to that, my pastor's daughter actually lives in San Bernardino, and she was friends with one of the people that got killed. And there was a man, my pastor commented a bit about it, how do we respond to this? You know, do we all get guns? And what he was saying is one of the people in the situation, a man covered one of the women and just said, "I've got you." In other words, I'm going to cover you. And he died, and the person underneath him lived. And he was just saying how he laid down his life for another human and how he made a choice here that was different than our normal response, which is just to, you know, kill or be killed. He sacrificed for another person. I thought that was really kind of interesting.
And so it was an employee that covered an employee?
Right, right. And that was just, you know, and all
Don,
the responses
uh-huh.
come out. You're not getting a lot
since
of people talking
about. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go for it.
No, I was going to
say
one was a rabbinical Jew, a Messianic Jew, who witnessed every day and wore, like, this frock around him like Jews wear. And he was a good Christian, Jewish Christian, and he was always smiling and positive to people. There was also a Latino guy with six kids, an Iranian woman who had been persecuted 20 to 30 years ago in Iran and moved here to escape persecution and had a new husband with three kids, and she was killed. Don, since you're on the air briefly because of your work situation, what was your impression of this past week's killing and how man and man versus man behaves in the animal kingdom of life? Hello?
I think they got him.
Can you still hear me, John?
Yeah, I can hear you.
John, what was your impression of the in the San Bernardino case, it was an American Muslim and a Pakistani wife. Why would he target his coworkers at a party like people he knew personally?
Well, this is something where we found out. I mean, the wife was the one who had been
radicalized.
Yeah, the wife was radicalized. She came over after coming from Saudi Arabia a couple of times.
No, Pakistan. Oh yeah.
No. Okay. And so she was radicalized very well. Came over probably and I'm just conjecturing here, probably an arranged marriage, and he was able to get a little more radicalization to do this, perform this act. If you saw they actually were fleeing. They were shot dead in their car. He was hanging out. She was in there. There is apparently possibly one other suspect on the loose, but they're not. That hasn't been confirmed. But the bottom line is that this is radicalization. It is a natural process, just like any other mutations and evolutions that are in the world. The animal versus man sounds like ISIS versus man, and man is of course supposed to be the higher species, the stronger species, the controlling species. And as we can see, man eventually, virtually all the time, gives up that responsibility in some manner or another, probably most likely because of greed and avarice. And the next thing you know, animal is mad and either runs away or attacks its master, owner, whomever you want to call the person who is supposed to be in the lead. So this is all natural. And this guy, he had an opportunity. He took it. Luckily, there were no more than 14 people who were killed besides himself and his wife. But there isn't anything really to say about it. If you read the Statue of Liberty, it says, "Give me your hungry, your tired, and your held masses." And nobody believes that anymore. So we've got people like ISIS or animals like ISIS who are coming to get, and as I mentioned, it's the Caucasian man. It's not anyone else. So those who
wait a minute, back up. What did you say?
Western,
the Caucasian man?
Yeah, the ISIS, the animal that's really getting ready to bite us. our most terrifying fear, not animals themselves. Who will someday be able to communicate amongst themselves, but not now, but the as your book plot indicates.
Yeah, I have a let's tackle this question briefly. Why did do you guys think that animals in the wild fear men, or just sense that it's not good to be too close?
Both. The animals have a natural scent. They have the capability of smelling fear, happiness, whatever the case may be, from any other species. Man is probably one of the most odoriferous, so they can smell it at will. But over time, animals will get used to men, and Tarzan-like characters can become a reality. They do tolerate us as long as we don't hurt or harm their species, their children, their young, and we can live peacefully among animals. However, of course, as usual, man is so destructive that he will kill their mates or their young, and the next thing you know, they're communicating, and man is no longer welcome in that environment. So whatever environment it may be. So this is all natural. This is all something that is morphing into either man versus animal or man loving animal. And, you know, these are all things that man has the opportunity to, yeah.
John, do you have a comment on that?
I think Don Gallimau is on the money, and I think as far as you know, the animals, they're going to follow their natural instinct and their natural programming. We're the ones who have choice. We can really screw things up, or we can just go with the flow. So it's incumbent upon us to make better choices. You know, you can come back 100 years from now, dogs are still going to be doing the same program. They're not going to be building schools, flying to the moon. We're the ones who are able to alter our environment, our situation, and we make choices. We worry about to send the kids to college. You know, animals are very in the moment. I mean, you can distract a cat or a dog in 2 seconds, and they're on to the next thing. But humans will worry about the same stuff, and you know, build bombs and figure plot conspiracies. So we are different creatures in that respect. I do think we have a soul, a spirit, and to that level, we're a higher level, but we usually descend to the lowest level, unfortunately, with all that stuff.
You mean we naturally descend to the lowest level, or it's within a framework of a certain situation?
Gravity, and speaking not just of natural gravity, but the gravity of life pushes us down. And I think if we connect with our spirit, with a higher vision, higher order, we can ascend beyond that. But without any spiritual enlightenment, without a spiritual force or power higher than ourselves, I think that the natural conclusion is we follow gravity downhill. And that's what happens is, you know, you get in these violent situations, and we're just going to go sink to the lowest level. And it's when you have the voice of reason, a spiritual voice, you know, a mentor, a priest, a rabbi, your shaman, whoever, that shows you a spiritual path, a higher road to follow after, you can transcend this stuff. Without that, I think you run into madness. And I think history seems to demonstrate that point.
I think, you know, when we're approaching life at a younger age, like let's say we're in middle school and we're learning socialization skills, by the time we get out of high school and college, you know, we're using tactics to define our existence. But how many times in one's life do you think people have honestly tried to outmaneuver another human being for position and power? Do you think it happens often? And has it ever happened to either of you?
every minute.
Happens all the time. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Go for it.
Okay. Happens all the time when people are, when they have time on their hands, they have nothing to do really than think of new things. And virtually every time, those new things involve some kind of power, power struggle, power grab, and those things
happen. I believe that, but how about in our own individual lives? Like, I remember about a week before I left the American Red Cross in Los Angeles chapter, Craig and I were moving to Wisconsin. This one supervisor of mine, who everybody thought was dumb, she tried to pull a fast one on me and, like, get me fired a week before I left, after I put my 2 weeks notice in. It was just, like, unnecessary and a mutated power move that didn't make any sense except for to maybe make herself look good.
It happens every second, every minute. I'm in the field that I'm in, office supply. Every day, someone's a big fish is swallowing little fish. The competition, it's no longer like in a small individual mom and pop store. It used to be the bigger companies were the you know, the enemy, if you could call it, Staples, the Office Depot. And you can equate that to any business, you know, any big business muscling in on smaller companies. But now it's beyond that. It's like the dot-com stuff. You have virtual offices. You're competing against companies that don't even exist. It's just a automated, robotic, you know, entity. And how does it affect it? It affects it like I'm trying to get work. It's like, who do you work for? You know, it used to be you could go and work for like in my business, you could go work for Bluebird. You could work for, you know, like Systematic Office Supply, 3S, or whatever. And now you go, half those companies, you know, they're gone or they're barely surviving. It's just like get a job at Staples or Office Depot, you know. And after a while, you go, that's not even the place. It's like it's Shoplet. It's OfficeSupplies.com. It's these places you can't even work there. They're just online stores.
Yeah, this reminds me of something, Don and John, that I mentioned earlier in the show. And John's very aware of the, you know, how, well, my dad worked at 3M for years, and they made tape supplies and a lot of other things, and they're booming still. But this reminds me of, we can compare this business model and how things die and, you know, emerge to what John and I talked about at the beginning of the show, that I mentioned Nathan Wayne Gustafson, one of the four people that shot in the crowd for Black Lives Matter in Minneapolis. He's only liable for a 5-year maximum sentence or $10,000 fine for shooting into a crowd, disturbing the peace and threatening to act with unlawful force. Even though they actually did shoot someone, one in the leg and one in the stomach, they're still only liable for 5 years unless they get multiple counts. So this is an example of men preying on men, and then the consequences not even being that big. Did we lose Don again?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. If it were some African-American, you know good and well that the 5-year minimum or maximum would not have applied or would be rescinded and changed. You know, this is the laws are highly unfair, and there's not necessarily the verbiage in the books, but the actual presentation of the rules and regulations. If you notice, they're trying and back in Texas and thing trying to get affirmative action back on track, and it's necessary because there is a systemic negation, if you will, of the attempts by other people's minorities to work to go to school, to get loans, things like that. So we're going, we need to look at some of the animalistic things that are in us, in humans, and realize that that we can't go too far from that right now. We're not ready for it. If you've heard me in the past,
we can also compare to the prime example of Donald Trump, who makes fun of reporters who have palsy.
Right. Well, the thing is, exactly. But see, Donald Trump does not want to admit that he perverts the system. Bankruptcy is his major, one of his major tools, besides being a bully. He will declare bankruptcy every 10 years on clockwork. And that is just about part of what he can say, but he's not really doing it. He's not doing anything. He's just declaring bankruptcy, playing us all. This is our tax money. And so he doesn't want to say that because that'll start putting holes in his whole campaign. But we are animals, and I've said this before, we are not grown up enough. We're not mature enough for systems, the internet, and other kinds of smartphones and GPS and things to the like, because we are not capable of grasping all of that information. Our minds are not developed enough for it. And I've said this many, many times, that one of the things that the internet is, they call it, the white man calls it progressive. I call it regressive.
John, what do you think about that technology comment?
My personal thought towards that is that technology is growth. It's progress. The problem is cancer is growth. Cancer is a progression of cells multiplying, but it's out of control. And so I agree with him in the sense of that all this technology, we're not prepared for the consequences. It's not a matter of can we, it's a matter of should we. We're starting to put information into people's hands that they have no idea how to handle it. A person's personal thoughts, example, those are personal and private. And now you're exposing thoughts on the, you know, people are spouting things off and twittering and tweeting things. And, you know, and some of the stuff, it's really actually, it's the truth. Some of it is actually good, but the problem is it gets out there and it gets taken out of context. It gets blown up. Pretty soon everyone just has to have this homogenized, generic, robotic response to everything. Everything is wonderful. Everything is great. You can't have your own personal opinion. It's because people can't handle all this information. They can't process it properly. It's taken out of context. So, you know, they're going to get to the point where robotically they're going to open up our minds and try to rewire us and reprogram us. And that, by that I mean governments and dictators and evil people. And so I'm all for regression. I'm all for de-evolution. Devo was the band that, you know, that was their theory. To survive, we must de-evolve. How about those?
Yeah, I'm going to do my. We only have Let's see what time it is. Oh, we still have 15 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to start my conclusion. I'm fading a little. I was going to say in the TV show they have the Zoo Netflix show. They have a thing called the Mother Cell, which is like this. See, this company named Raiden developed something to contaminate the animals, and this mother cell is like the only promise that they have to fix the animals. And there's only a certain number of species that had not been contaminated by Raiden. So they have to find those animals, treat them, and then spread it. And then in the last episode, they decide to spread the cure through mosquitoes, because mosquitoes prey on every single species, whether like it's a cow or human or whatever. And that's kind of how we were talking about four episodes again about westernized thought, enlightenment versus Muslim thought. How can we, with all the distractions of technology and sources of news and information, how can humans become more caring and cooperative in a coexistence rather than random killers? That's my final thought.
They can't. Humans cannot become what they
aren't. We cannot.
We cannot. We're killers from a long time ago. How many longs is that? I don't know. But the bottom line is that we're killers. We do it naturally.
Are you a killer?
No.
Yeah.
I eat killed foods I don't want to be. I actually keep. You know, I keep ants alive when I'm walking across that line. And I made sure that if I have a bug in my house, I try to get it out alive. You know, these are things that I do, and it just comes naturally for me. But that's because I am a pacifist, more or less. I'm a peaceful person. I believe in life and living. But... because it's necessary. That's what God intended. So that's what we should do. We should go ahead. However, when you talk about man being an explorer, he becomes a controller of property and land that he thinks is his, which, of course, it's not. It's nature's. It's God's. But he thinks it's his. And so he goes and he sharpens knives and he... puts together guns and steals all the technology from everybody else. That's the most current. But they do this stuff out of the necessity to desire accumulated material wealth. And that's where the greed comes in. And so the only way that we're going to get anything better is to diminish the greed aspect in the human being. Otherwise, they will remain killers forever.
So what's the component that contaminates man? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, desire for things bigger than what they can have.
And that's why Muslims are important. Their ideology is, if you look at most of it, it is for peace and for love and for the continuation of man. They don't believe in fornication, they out of wedlock. They don't believe in alcohol and drugs. They don't believe in having their women risque in their dress. There are a lot of things that are principled in the Muslim Hindu faith that we should be following. But we refuse to because we refuse to acquiesce to anyone else's culture or religion.
Why don't we give John a chance to talk? He hasn't said much tonight.
Go ahead, John.
I'm enjoying the conversation. Don said a very important thing, and that is his belief in God and in life. It motivates him. It fences him into wanting to preserve life. And I think the problem is the component of having God and respecting life is missing for some people. Or people who believe in God that have part of their component that they have to kill to restore or to propagate their faith or their religion. That gets dangerous. But you have to have some kind of core value that drives you to be a spiritual person. Like, I've come to that enlightenment, or I shouldn't call it enlightenment. Just to me, my reality is there's a God, and there's an eternity, and that reins me in. It pushes me back to being a more spiritual person. But if I didn't have that, left to my own devices, it's a very dark and windy path that we face. And my conclusion to be without God is, get your gun and take anyone out that's in your way, if you can get away with it. In fact,
really,
talking about the internet. Although I'm not a killer at heart, I'm you know, to me it would take a lot of
something to do that. But just in speaking of the internet, I mean, here I have like an email from some stranger saying, you know, hi, come over here, you know, and let's, you know, she'll take her clothes off and do this and do that. It's like, how did this person get in touch with me? How did, you know, I'm not on some porn site. How do they find me? But if I was a dark person, it, you know, just click a button and there it is. You know, it's just waiting for, you know, there's stuff out there, crazy stuff, crazy websites. And it's open to everyone out there that has a, you know, a computer. If even 1% of the population is whacked out, that's a lot of people when you're talking 300 million Americans, right? A whole bunch of people out there going crazy.
Yeah, even on Twitter, you know, I've had like between 5 and 6 20-something-year-old girls trying to add me, and then they have really sexy poses up, like, what do they want from a 55-year-old woman? Like, it's just kind of strange. Sexual voyeurs.
And
I mean, like, I don't want to add them to my page. By the way, Sasquatch, yeah, he's hiding tonight. He didn't call in.
Well, you know, the only thing I have to say about that, though, is that with all this technology, we can't get, like, an actual body. We can't get an actual video, I mean, like, right next to the thing. It's like there has to be someone somewhere that has something, you know, substantial as far as evidence. So I don't buy into all that because no one's produced a, you know, anything. There should be a body, right? A corpse somewhere?
Yeah, they actually, I don't know how authentic it was, but they did kill 2 Sasquatches way down in Kentucky or Tennessee. I watched a video about it a few years ago.
You watched a video? Well, where are these bodies?
But there's more than one, but then the government officials, like the sheriffs, hid the bodies.
They hid the bodies. There we go.
They did, because it was citizens that somehow killed them or stopped them or something.
In the UFOs, and we can't get the spaceship because it's hiding in this. And that's fine. I'm sure it's out there. But it's like, bring it to me. Show me. Until that happens, it's just, it's talk. It's conjecture.
Go online and type in Sasquatch images or dead Sasquatch, and you'll see the images.
Yeah, but we're talking, you know, Hollywood. We're talking people can do things with their with their little computer kit. I mean, I can make a video with Sasquatch, with blue hair even. I'm just saying, no, I need more than that. In this day and age.
We have 2 minutes left. Is this going to be our conclusion that man can't stop man from killing or hurting each other, but we're more worried about some half human, half animal that we can speculate about, but has no bearing or significance?
Well, I have a theory, and that is all these problems were around in the time of Jesus. He walked on water, he raised the dead, he opened blind eyes, and he didn't fix it. He did not feel the need to fix it then. How can Johnny Rock, with his limited abilities, he can't walk on water, how could I change this world? I can't. I can only shine my little light, my little circle of friends.
And you do.
But
and
you
also
you
tame animals. Go ahead,
I'm
Don.
Sorry, go ahead. No, no,
no.
No,
I said he tames animals by dog watching.
Right. Well, the thing is that we are, as I mentioned earlier, we are animals. We are changing ourselves every day with our bad, healthy, unhealthy eating habits and living around toxic waste 24/7. We are growing, those people who are obese, a lot of them are growing new organs and having new maladies, new diseases. And so we're changing everything as we speak. So don't expect life to be the same tomorrow as it is today. or as it was yesterday?
Well, you know what? I've known people who lived a long time. They smoked